Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. Thanks to everybody who listened last week. We had this big interview with Governor Newsom that got all sorts of attention. It was written about in the New York Times, the New York Post, and Breitbart, and San Francisco Chronicle, and a lot of those places were linking to this podcast. So if there are new listeners to this podcast or new subscribers, welcome. Good to have you with us. This week, we're a little bit more of that interview with Governor Newsom. We're also going to talk to Republican Assemblyman James Gallagher on the issue of taxes and inflation and where things are at with that. We're going to talk with Pete Aguilar, who is one of the January 6th commissioners. He's a Democrat from Redlands, former mayor of Redlands. Talk about his role. And he was at the center of those hearings this week that talked about President Trump and Vice President Pence and their relationship. And then a little later, we pay tribute to John Myers, one of the giants of California journalism, who is leaving journalism this week. We've got some cameos to help with that as well. But let's begin with the first segment of our show, talking about the issue of inflation. This week, the big issue continues to be inflation. Everything is more expensive, including gas. Democrats want to give back some of their $100 billion budget surplus to help people pay for gas. But at the time of this taping, at least, they still disagree on how to do that. Democrats in the legislature want to send out $200 checks for families earning less than $250,000. Governor Newsom wants to send $400 debit cards to every registered vehicle owner. Here is a portion of our exclusive conversation with Governor Newsom from last week that is airing now for the first time. Is there some thought, though, that a $100 billion surplus is evidence that taxes are too high, and that maybe we should do tax cuts?
I think one can argue the merits or demerits of our tax system, which is particularly progressive. And obviously, those that have done well have done exceptionally well in the last few years, and that's reflected in our capital gains. That said, we're not naive. We just had a deficit a couple of years ago, likely to experience those once again, particularly as the economy cools and we see the impacts of inflation over an extended period of time, and obviously Fed policy. That said, that's why we're building up our rainy day reserve to the highest levels ever. It's part of the disagreement I have with the legislature right now. They actually want to reduce the amount of money in our budget in terms of reserves. They actually don't want to do as big of a tax rebate as the one we are proposing, and they're proposing $6 billion of ongoing spending, which I don't believe we can afford in a few years, so we're going to have to pull that back. These are modest differences. They're big if they're not attended to, modest in terms of what I believe we will be able to close in the next week or so. But that said, I've always supported reforming our tax code, but it will require a Herculean effort. And it will require an effort that would ultimately have to land the voters who, as you know, extended the top tax rate in 2011. And will have to, it will sunset a number of years, but we'll have to go back to the voters to eliminate.
Republicans in Sacramento have a different plan. This week, they held a press conference marking 100 days since the governor promised gas relief, and nothing has been done. James Gallagher is the Republican leader in the assembly. Leader Gallagher, welcome back to The Issue Is.
Good to be with you again, Alex.
Real simply, what's your plan?
Well, one, I mean, we're calling for a gas tax suspension, and we've been doing that all year. I mean, we introduced the bill in January, and we feel like that's the easiest solution to the gas price issue, is give everybody an immediate relief right now. Take 51 cents a gallon, off their gas. And everybody could have had that relief. If we had done this, you know, when we called for it at the beginning of the year, people would already have saved. Instead, the Democrats have been fighting each other over what kind of rebate they're going to give. And, you know, whether it's $200 or $400, that's not nearly enough to deal with the inflation that everybody's dealing with and the gas prices that people are dealing with.
Governor Newsom talks about why his plan is best. Take a look at this, and then I want you to get your response.
2 years, $20 billion back to the people of the state of California, directly in their pockets, not in the pockets of oil companies, not in the pockets of corporations or even gas station owners. That's why our approach is a direct rebate that quickly gets back into people's pockets.
What do you say to that?
Well, I'll go to what the governor said at first there. The governor sounds a lot like a Republican when he's talking about budgets. First of all, he's talking about, the need to put into a rainy day fund. We've been saying that for years now, and that is important, that we need to spend on infrastructure. We believe that's important also. What he refuses to do is do systemic tax cuts, because as you pointed out, Californians are taxed too much. That's why we have $100 billion surplus. And so, look, we believe that you should build in a tax cut for every Californian to give them relief during this time, and that would be the better way, the better path forward. But we actually agree with him, on the rainy day fund, and certainly on some of the issues he's bringing up. Sounds very, sounds like very much like a Republican budget proposal.
Ready to vote for him in November?
Of course I'm not. I'll be supporting Brian Daly.
Yeah.
But, the governor has been pushing back on the Democrats. He agrees that, we can't have this ongoing budget funding that's going to put us in a bad spot long term. And so, look, I think we can find the things that we agree with the governor on. I don't think a $400 rebate is going to do a whole lot for everyday Californians right now. Let's do something to really cut their costs across the board when they're dealing with the highest inflation in a generation.
Assemblyman James Gallagher, thanks so much for sharing your views. Good luck to you out on the campaign trail in the months ahead.
Thank you, and it's always a pleasure.
Now to our conversation about the January 6th committee this week. Here's a clip from that hearing.
Mr. Jacob, did Donald Trump ever call the vice president to check on his safety?
He did not.
Mr. Jacob, how did Vice President Pence and Mrs. Pence react to that?
With frustration.
Democrat Pete Aguilar of Redlands led one of this week's January 6th committee hearings, which addressed then-President Trump targeting his then-Vice President, Mike Pence. Congressman Aguilar joins us now from Washington via Zoom. Congressman Aguilar, welcome to The Issue Is for the first time.
Thanks for having me, Alex.
We appreciate you being here. For the people that may not have watched this in full, what's the big takeaway from the hearing that you led?
Well, the big takeaway is that, last week we learned that the president knew he lost the election and continued down a path that led to January 6th. And this week what we learned is that this debunked theory was swirling around and a contributing factor to what happened on January 6th. But more importantly, that the vice president's safety was in danger on January 6th, and that the president had a public and private campaign to pressure the vice president to alter the election and to keep the president in power.
Let's dig into that a little bit. One of the most striking moments was when you played depositions of those who worked for President Trump, including a deputy press secretary named Sarah Matthews. In the middle of the riot, she was among those asking for the president to tweet a message telling rioters to go home. Instead, the president tweeted out a negative tweet about Mike Pence. Here's how she described that.
Bring out Pence!
Bring him out!
It was clear that it was escalating and escalating quickly. So then when that tweet, the Mike Pence tweet, was sent out, I remember us saying that that was the last thing that needed to be tweeted at that moment. The situation was already bad, and so it felt like he was pouring gasoline on the fire by tweeting that.
Did President Trump essentially want his vice president to die, or was he at least indifferent to that possibility?
I think the testimony definitely shows that he was at least indifferent. The clear testimony that we received there shows that that time period from 2:13 p.m. when the Capitol was breached, all the way through till about, 2:38, 2:40 p.m., it was a dangerous time in the Capitol. As the vice president was being evacuated away, he ended up 40 feet from the mob. And all throughout, when it was all said and done, the vice president, was holding there for hours and hours on end in an undisclosed location on the Capitol complex, and he never heard from the president. So after that entire pressure campaign, he never checked up on him, never asked about his safety.
40 feet, which is pretty remarkable to think. Big picture, if Mike Pence had been somebody else, if he had been even more loyal to Donald Trump than he had been over those years, and he followed that plan, where would our country be today?
democracy would be in a very terrible position if Donald Trump would have got his way, if the vice president would have single-handedly used his you know, so-called power that the president thought he had to set aside electors or to send it back to the states to debunk theories. If he would have done that, it would have been chaos. And people around the president, including testimony from Dr. Eastman, even cited that there could be violence in the streets as a result of it, but that sometimes, you know, that has happened in the history of our republic. It's just quite striking and scary.
This day is one of the most high-profile moments of your career. What did it mean to you personally to be the one, to be up there, to be leading this hearing in this moment?
Alex, I'm just a kid from San Bernardino. I mean, you know, I didn't think I'd be in this type of position. But, you know, if given the opportunity to try to help be part of a team to tell the truth about what happened that day, I was affected. I was on the House floor, just like a lot of my colleagues. I just want to try to, you know, be part of a team to help get this right, to make sure that we protect democracy. But it's just a high honor to be part of this group and to be leading this specific hearing.
You've talked to a whole lot of people and spent a lot of time on this. What's the biggest surprise, something you've learned from this that maybe you didn't expect going into it?
I think, you know, the evidence that we have found, how close we came to ending democracy. And that's, you know, it's not hyperbole, it's the truth. And we heard a lot of that in our hearing this week. But, you know, the mob not only was 40 feet from Mike Pence, you know, there's a confidential informant who says the Proud Boys would have killed him if they found him. You know, we're going to hear testimony from other state Republican officials in the days and weeks ahead as well, who exercised courage in doing their job and doing the right thing. And I think they should be, you know, commended for that, because our democracy is worth saving and protecting. And we need to do everything we can to protect it.
And this is all a reminder that elections have consequences, not only presidential elections, but elections for jobs like secretaries of state in different states, and that these issues at a local level can be so important for the country and for the world as well. Congressman Pete Aguilar, thank you so much for joining us amidst one of the busiest times of your life. We really appreciate you taking time to share your views.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate it.
Our thanks to Congressman Aguilar. And now to our tribute to John Myers. Take a listen. John Myers is one of our most frequent guests here on The Issue Is. He first joined the California Capitol Press Corps back in 1996. He's worked in TV, radio, and for the last 7 years as Sacramento Bureau Chief for the LA Times. Well, this week, John officially left journalism to pursue a big job in the state. John Myers, welcome back to The Issue Is. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm pretty sure I had this shirt on in one of those you just showed. So
keep it consistent. What is the new job, and why are you leaving?
Boy, those are good questions. Okay, the easy one is what I'm going to do. So I'm going to go look at government inside the belly of the beast. I'm going to run the public affairs division at CalPERS, the state pension fund. You know, they make a lot of huge decisions that have political and societal implications with the largest pension fund in America. Why am I leaving? I don't know. I mean, it's a challenge. I mean, it's a younger man's game, Alex, so you keep on doing it. No, I don't. I mean, you know, you look for challenges in life. You look for those moments when you can have a challenge. And I think this is one of those moments for me. So
what is it about this state in particular that is so fascinating for you to cover for all these years? You've stayed in California all these years.
Yeah, I'm an East Coaster by birth. I came out for journalism school 29 years later, stayed. I have to say, it's a microcosm of the country. Every conversation that you have somewhere else in the United States, you have in California, regionally, demographically, socially. And I am a firm believer in that idea that what happens in California has ramifications all across the United States.
Is there one or two moments that really stand out to you as like, this was the craziest moment of my career?
Well, I mean, you know, let's just tell people that the recall of 2003 was the most surreal moment of any political reporter's career in this state. I mean, that the beginning, the middle, the end, budget press conferences next to Access Hollywood in Sacramento with Arnold Schwarzenegger. By the way, Access Hollywood never came back to Sacramento after that. But I mean, that was the most surreal. Fascinating politicians, huge issues, ballot measures, too many to count. It's a hell of a ride. I don't know how else to put it.
Well, you know, you can see extraordinary stories from John at youtube.com/AlexMichelson. We couldn't fit it all into the TV broadcast, but part of the reason we can't fit it into the TV broadcast was so many people wanted to wish you well for this. Among them, the governor of the state of California, Gavin Newsom. This is what he tweeted out when you talked about leaving. Smart, tough, fair, always on his game. Congrats, John Myers, on starting this next chapter, which is pretty cool. To have that from the governor of the state. And he wasn't the only governor. We had some send us this. Take a look.
Hi, John. This is Gray Davis. I want to commend you on a terrific career as a journalist. Whether in print or on radio, you were always the same, tough but fair. And your insights on how government and politics works are more valuable today than ever before. Sharon and I wish you all the best in the next chapter of your life. We hope it's both enjoyable and satisfying. May God bless you and your family.
John, congratulations. What a career at the Los Angeles Times. I certainly was one of your avid readers. So now you're off to CalPERS, another great milestone and an opportunity. Ann and I, we're beneficiaries of PERS. So please keep a good watch on what they're doing. The world economy is in turbulence, but with you at PERS, Ann and I will sleep better at night. All the best.
Pretty cool, huh?
You know, and it's so funny because both of those men have been grumbly at me through the years about questions I ask. So time makes the heart grow fonder. Absence, I suppose it does. But that's really wonderful. I'm really touched by that.
Well, so many of your colleagues wanted to share thoughts that I actually had to trim some of them down because everybody went long. Let's start with the last person to get this kind of treatment on this show, Carla Marinucci, formerly of Politico.
The man, the myth, the legend, John Myers, you are in the pantheon of great political writers in California, a tremendous competitor. The press corps is going to miss you tremendously.
Hey, I'm Marisa Lagos. I am politics correspondent at KQED News in San Francisco. And I have this job because John Myers took a chance on me. John, thank you for believing in me. Thank you for all of your mentorship of me and so many other people, your knowledge, and above all, your kindness. You're just a good person. We're going to miss you.
Hey, John, it's Alexi Casa from CalMatters. Covering the Capitol is not going to be the same without you and your decades of insight about California politics.
Hey, John. Jeremy with Politico here. For as long as I have been on the California politics beat, I have aspired to the model you presented of somebody with deep experience and knowledge who was able to explain what everything really meant on a level that few other people could match.
Hannah Wiley, LA Times state politics reporter. John, congratulations on your next big adventure, but we will certainly miss you in the Bureau.
Hi, I'm Taryn Luna with the Los Angeles Times. It's tough because the Capitol press corps is really losing the legend.
Hi, Melody Gutierrez with the LA Times. Thank you so much, John, for everything you've done. You've left this Bureau a much better place, and I plan to continue to bug you and look for your insights no matter where you work.
Hi, this is Phil Willon with the LA Times. And I gotta tell you, we're gonna miss him. Not only is he a fantastic journalist, he's even a better person.
Hi, I'm Seema Mehta with the Los Angeles Times. I'm here to offer my best wishes to John Myers. I don't know of any reporter who's better sourced or has more historic knowledge about how our state capitol works than John.
Hey, John, it's Laurel Rosenhall with the LA Times. Congratulations on an incredible career as a journalist.
This is Emily Hoven with CalMatters. John, we're gonna miss you so much. Ever since I started covering the Capitol a couple of years ago, I've relied so much on your reporting and your Twitter feed to make sense of what's happening in the world of California politics.
Hi, John. Dan Moraine here. You know, I worked at the LA Times for 27 years and have the pension to show for it, so I can understand why you might want to go to work for CalPERS.
Hi, this is Melanie Mason with the LA Times. And to switch things up a little bit, I would like to point out some of John's less ideal characteristics. Like there's his college basketball allegiances, which are highly questionable, or there's the extremely cheesy dad jokes he would tell on the California Politics podcast. And yeah, that's about all I can think of. John, in every other sense, you have been a superlative journalist, mentor, and friend. Thank you so much.
Joe Garofoli, San Francisco Chronicle. Wait, you want me to say something nice about somebody from the rival Los Angeles Times? I will do it for John Myers, one of the best at explaining complex things in simple terms and one of the state's best moderators of political debates. And if there's one thing we need, it's people who can make politicians shut up. Congrats, John. We're going to miss you. And now I look forward to writing the sentence, John Myers from CalPERS declined to comment.
What do you think? Oh, my God. I first of all, thank you for doing that. Thank you to all of those folks. I've always done what I, you know, believe was the right thing in telling the stories I've done. And I've had incredible colleagues and holy mackerel. My mother says I've never been at a loss for words. I'm at a loss for words. So thank you.
Now we pulled it off. John, you deserve it. Everybody was happy to do it. Thank you so much for your class, for your kindness, for your professionalism. You are a true gentleman at a time when there aren't many of them around anymore. So thank you for everything you've done for our show, and thank you for being so good to me as well.
Thank you, Alex. You're a class act. And let me just tell people, you know, for anybody who watches this, don't give up on politics. Don't give up on the value of an elected government. You know, these are crazy times, but man, you got to keep pushing through on it. So thank you to everyone. I appreciate that.
Our thanks to John Myers and to Congressman Aguilar, to Assemblyman Gallagher, to Governor Newsom, and to you for listening. We'll be back next week for more of The Issue Is. In the meantime, we hope you subscribe, like us, send us comments, and reach out to me in social media. My name is Alex Michelson with E. I'm Alex Michelson. See you next week.